This morning I'm going to speak on unwrapping the Holy Spirit. Last week we started a series called Unwrapped. You know, it's great. Who loves getting presents and gifts off people? I love it, you. And I love it when it's wrapped up in different ways, like in lovely paper. And or if it's a small box, you go like, oh, I wonder what's in that. You know, good packages, good gifts come in small packages. Or the expensive gifts come in small packages, should I say. Or else when you were a kid and you got up at Christmas morning and all of the wrapping things was under, all the gifts were underneath. And you loved, and you love getting gifts. And especially you love getting gifts when the person who's giving it is a creative person. You know, it's not like a fiver voucher for Tesco's or something like that in a thing that someone actually is gonna after going and like, yeah, I think that person would like this and they'll get a surprise when they see this and whatever. And we all love that type of thing. And last week I was given, you know, that last Sunday morning up in the team meeting room, we were treated to a gift by Scotty. And I was like giving Scotty the drum roll and all because I was using it even as an intro into my Unwrapped series. And basically what it was when he opened it was a load of sausages. And we were celebrating this and he knew nothing about it. And like and as I was saying, I could see people laughing last week and then I was told that there was a scare on the old pigs. but Scotty didn't know, didn't you know? But the butcher gave them for nothing. He promised me he didn't know. Now, what he says to me really was, Linda tried to feed me them this morning and I didn't want them. But we did unwrap them. And being honest, there was none left. Isn't that right? There was none left. And what we done last week, we unwrapped the Bible. And where the Bible came from and who wrote the Bible and many men were used to write it, and these men were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote it. It's God's word. And then we talked about in finishing that and how what it took for God and for people to get his word into our hands. And I know because of your response and some of the text messages I got during the week was that I'll never take God's word for granted again because it's God's word. And it was really for me anyway, and for those who are here, who get feedback, said it was really a moving time. But if you want to get that sermon, you can log on to www.libertychurch.ie and get onto the podcast, and you can download that yourself onto a CD, or you could download it onto an iPod or an MP3 player. If you don't know how to do that, you could ask someone, because it's really simple, even for someone like me. So this morning, we're going to continue to unwrap these gifts that God has given us. God has given us loads of gifts, and one of them is his word. And, you know, next week, unwrapping Christmas, or what we celebrate as Christmas, really unwrapping the greatest present that was ever present on earth, which was God himself in the form of a babe wrapped in baby clothes. But this week, we're on the Holy Spirit, and I want to finish at the end with a time of prayer for people to be filled or refreshed in the Holy Spirit. So it's 12 o'clock, so I'm going to shift through in a couple of gears to get us to that place so we could have a bit of time, yeah? Say yes, no. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? What part does he play in the big scheme of things? Where did he come from? Why was he given? You know, there's loads of questions around the Holy Spirit. And I would dare say through the centuries that the Holy Spirit has probably been the one that has been misrepresented from the Godhead more than Father or the Son. Because people have all types of ideas about him. People have all types of, they assign lots of things to the Holy Spirit that doesn't necessarily be him. And he gets bad publicity, probably more than the Father and the Son in the bigger scheme of the church in the world. But the Holy Spirit is a member of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Greek word, or the Hebrew word, used for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is a word called Ruach. And it was always used in the Hebrew language when it was talking about the Holy Spirit. The word literally means wind or breath. The Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Wind of God. Is what we pray for, is what came on the day of Pentecost, the very breath of God. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, The word for the Holy Spirit is pneuma, which is again used in conjunction with a breath or a breeze. So you can literally think and say the Holy Spirit is the very breath of God. Most people, but Christians understand Jesus, the Son of God, well, the Father well, as two distinct persons within the Godhead. However, there is confusion around the identity of the Holy Spirit. People through the ages thought about him, and people through the ages assigned words to him that open up who he is to us and his characteristic to us. And when you know who he is, you will desire a closer relationship with him, just as you would with the Father and the Son. Now, though the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible, but we know that God is three in one. That there are three distinct persons that make up the Godhead, and they are all equal in every way. So the Father and the Son is not have more power than the Holy Spirit, that they're all equal in every way. There's great theological words that is assigned to God. And the same theological words that is assigned to God is assigned to the Holy Spirit. Like he's omnipotent. Meaning that he is all powerful. It's important that we get this morning this one thing before I reach my end. That the Holy Spirit is God. And he is all powerful. He is all powerful. There is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing that is too difficult for him. In fact, he can even make a young virgin girl. He could take a young virgin girl in Israel and impregnate her with the Son of God. It says of the Holy Spirit, it says that the angel came to Joseph and he says that the Holy Spirit will come, or he came to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the Most High will shadow you so that you will be born with the Son of God. Or that you will give birth to the Son of God. He's omnipotent, meaning all powerful. Another great theological word is that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at once. He is the everywhere God. There's times yet when we know that God is everywhere. But when you come into a Sunday morning or you go into your prayer, your bedroom or into your sitting room and you spend that time with God, although he's everywhere, he makes himself more known to you in them places. The Psalm 139 says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Why was he saying this? Because he knew that the Holy Spirit was the everywhere God. He's omniscient, meaning he's all known. Guys, you know what? We can't hide anything from him. He knows everything about you and me and still loves us. He knows everything we get up to and still loves us, still draws us, still says, I have the remedy for that disease that's in your blood. You know when people say he's a Mr. Know-All? And you know, you talk about someone, he thinks he knows everything. The reality is the Holy Spirit does know everything. He knows everything about every subject, about any time, about any place, in any time in history. He does know everything. He is God, all-knowing. He is eternal. It says that about in Hebrews 9, it says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The eternal Spirit brought the blood before the Father. He is equal in every way. In Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira lied, it says the Spirit of God. It says in Acts 5, how could Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And he goes on to say in Acts 5, he says, don't you know it's not man you're lying to, but you're lying to God. The Holy Spirit being God. It's important that you get this morning that the Holy Spirit is God. Fully equal in every way. The same essence. The same as God the Father and as the Son. The Holy Spirit was part of all things from the beginning of the Scriptures right through to the very end of the Scriptures. It was the Holy Spirit that we talked about last week. It was Him that carried men along to actually write the Bible that we have in our hands, that we read, that the Holy Spirit came upon them, reminded them what to write, told them what to write. And I don't know if you've ever done anything for God in regards to sitting down and putting something together, or listening in it, or in the car, and God tells you something, and the Holy Spirit carries you along and lets you hear something of heaven. We could have some inclination of what these men experience. The Holy Spirit was long on the scene before the day of Pentecost. Because as a church who believes in Pentecost, and as a church who believes that all of the workings of the Holy Spirit still is at work in our lives and in our world today, where somehow we become Christians and we think, oh, now there's a Holy Spirit. He was always there. It was Him when the earth was null and void and empty and in chaos. It was the Holy Spirit that was hovering over the earth. It was the Holy Spirit in full expression of the Godhead is when Jesus got baptized. The Son got baptized. And the Holy Spirit comes from heaven and comes and dwells in Jesus. And then the Father opens heaven and says, "This is my Son." The Godhead expressed all throughout Scripture. It's important to understand the Holy Spirit truly is God. It's important that you would know that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a force. He is not a power. He is not an it. He is a person. He has great force. And He has great power because He's God. But He is a person. We are also encouraged in the Bible not to focus so heavily on just the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's job, Jesus says, is to glorify Him. Therefore, wherever we do, wherever we go, whatever people declare is the Holy Spirit, if He's not glorifying Jesus, you can question it. No matter how big they are, no matter how big a name they are in Christianity, if man is getting the glory, well then you can have the right to question according to Scripture. Is this the Holy Spirit? Or is a man drawing attention to himself again? It's important that we know that the Holy Spirit, His function, or one of His functions, is to reveal and glorify Jesus to us. It's important to know, I love it, that Jesus says, "I'm going to send the Spirit and He will tell you to do what I tell Him to tell you to do." John 14 and John chapter 16 as well. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come and He'll glorify me and He'll take what is in heaven and make it known to you." And when Jesus was here, before He talked about the Holy Spirit, He says, "I only do what my Father tells me to do." There was this incredible harmony that has never been broken within the Godhead. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit is never out trying to outdo each other. They've never had a management crisis meeting. Because they've never tried to outdo one another. They exist in perfect community. Perfect harmony. There's never been a power struggle. The Holy Spirit is a person who gives gifts. The Holy Spirit is a person who has an intellect, who has knowledge. The Holy Spirit is a person who tells the truth. The Holy Spirit is a person who is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a person who guides. He convinces. He convinces us that we're sinners. He convinces us of the love of God. He is a person. Its powers, forces, doesn't pray for you, doesn't teach you, doesn't have an intellect. Something else that the Holy Spirit does, the Bible says in Romans, He prays for you. He intercedes. When we don't know what to say, we don't know what to pray, the Bible says that He will pray through you and give you utterances as to what to say. What am I trying to say in that piece? That He is a person. Respect Him as a person. Respect Him as God. In fact, the Holy Spirit walked hand in hand with Jesus right from his birth. He overshadowed Mary and she conceived. All throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, it was when he was filled and the Holy Spirit came down, was upon him and in him, did he move out in the ministry. In his death and in his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was there. In fact, the Trinity in his death and resurrection was all at work. In Ephesians, it says that when Jesus, he raised him from the dead, God the Father raised him from the dead. He exerted his great power by raising him up and seating him at the right hand. Far above all power, all dominion, all kings, all kingdoms, every title that can be given in this age and in the age to come. He raised him up and seated him right at that place. And then again, he says that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. The Trinity at work. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? In Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn there, I'll write it down. I want to do my sermon. I'm really tempted to do it backwards from here on in, rather than go from the beginning to the end. So I'll try it anyway. On the day of Pentecost, it says this. When the day of Pentecost came, Pentecost means 50. It's 50 days after the Passover. And this was a celebration of the harvest. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came in from heaven. Where did it come from? And filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole place. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came and separated and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. In Acts chapter 1, I'm doing a reverse here. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to them, he rose from the dead, he was going to ascend. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, go and wait in Jerusalem. And he says, my Father will send the promise, wait on the fire. John the Baptist said of Jesus, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. But he says, he's going to come after me, which was Jesus, going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And on this chapter 2, on this day, they were baptized in fire. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem, because what I told you, the gift that I told you was going to come from heaven, the Holy Spirit, will come. And this is the experience that they had. And if you go on to Acts, you see the power of God. You see the miracles of God on ordinary men and women. The Holy Spirit in them and moving through them. In Acts chapter 1:8, he says, wait, they waited. That was the experience. In John 20, verse 21, in John chapter 20, verse 21, there or thereabouts, Jesus is rose from the dead. He's appearing to everybody. He goes into where they were all sitting. Am I talking too fast? All right. He goes into where they were all sitting, and he'd rose from the dead, and he went into where they were all sitting. He wasn't coming through doors or anything, because it says the place where the Christians or the followers of Christ were, they were all in fear of the Jews, because they thought they were going to do to them what they'd done to Jesus. So they were hiding out in fear. They had the doors bolted. Jesus walks through the wall or so. He had no limitations now in the physical, because he'd rose from the dead. And he looks at them, he goes, peace be with you. And then he goes to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. The Ruach HaKodesh. He breathes on them. In John chapter 14 and chapter 16, he tells them about the Holy Spirit that was going to come. He says, my Father is going to give you another, a comforter. Could you stick that up there, Mal? He's going to give you another comforter. And he says, I'll ask my Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you. Or another comforter is another translation. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. On, in chapter 20, he goes, receive him. And the reconnection of heaven was made. All through the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was never in anyone in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God was on them. Now, when David was anointed king, it says that the Spirit of God came upon him with power. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will not be just with you, but he will be in you. That is not just someone who's going to come to walk alongside you. In fact, when you give your life to Jesus, he is someone who comes to live inside of you. Who comes to live inside of you? God. All-powerful, all-knowing, absolutely God comes in and dwells not just with you, but inside of you. You now become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Men knew of him coming upon them. Jesus says here, the other man, apart from Jesus, that had the breath of God in them, was Adam. And in Genesis chapter 3, it says the Lord God formed, chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 7, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. He breathed the breath of life. The Ruach HaKodesh, the holy wind of God, the holy breath of God was breathed into Adam. Adam sins, falls short, he disobeys God. God says, because you've done that, you're going to die. Adam didn't die physically, because he lived to be a ripe old age, as a matter of fact. But he died spiritually. He died. This holy HaKodesh of God was removed from, and a man just became man. A man became subject to his old nature and to be always prone to be in rebellion towards God. That this disease that Peter talked about was now in man. And all that man ever tried to do to get rid of it, he couldn't. Because the blood of another had to be given. That was perfect, that knew no sin, no disease. It was his blood that was the remedy for the blood of sin that is in every single man born of Adam. And every single human being that is being born. And to fast forward again, he comes, he fails. God says, I'm going to set my plan into action. I'm going to send my son. The son comes. The Holy Spirit comes down on him. Not only on him like all the other ones, but the Holy Spirit is now in him. He walks and moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. He dies. Now the connection of God was open. When Jesus was dying, Miles Monroe says this, I love it. That apart from Adam, Jesus was the only other man up to that point that could have the Holy Spirit living in him. Because all men were sinners. You were never cleansed. And Miles Monroe says that, he says, remember when Jesus was on the cross and he says, he breathes his last breath and he goes, Father, into your hands I give my spirit. He yields the spirit. He says, maybe there's a deeper meaning to that. That when Jesus, yeah, it was his last breath, but because he had the Holy Spirit in him and he released the Holy Spirit, he was now saying, because of my sacrificial death on behalf of all mankind, that every sin has ever done, ever will be done, or ever is to be done in the future, because my blood covers all of their sin, they become holy, not because of themselves, but because of my blood. And therefore, Lord, I release my spirit, Lord God. I release the Spirit, not just to be in me, but to be in every single person that comes under the cross, that comes under the blood of Jesus. That you don't just have to have the God of the Lord with you, but you can have God living inside of you. Isn't that incredible? Because of the blood, this, let me get back to those words. Omniscient. All powerful back here. eternal, all-knowing, the everywhere God, Him who is equal, fully equal with the Godhead, lives in you. You become the temple of God, where He dwells. I'm just amazed that God can dwell within people who are sinners. That He's made a way that He could live in us. That even while we were sinners, He loved us and died for us because He wants to live with us. Do you ever think if Jesus was only walking with me today? Do you ever think like that? I'd walk into a meeting, I'd walk into work and I'd go, you, bow down. Or whatever you do. That's in the early days. When Frank became a Christian, Frank, he was pastor of Bethel, me and him became Christians on the 22nd of March, 1989, of Tuesday at 9:40 in the National Stadium. On the same night. Dude, we were in the same altar call and only met each other 2 years ago. He's pastoring in Tala, I'm pastoring in the Liberties. But he said when he went home, when I came out of the National Stadium, I said, Sharon, we have to tell everyone in the flats. That's where we lived. And he went home and he gathered all of his family together. And he waited. His loads of brothers and sisters that are older than him. And he gathered them all together. And they all came down and watched Coronation Street together. And when Coronation Street was over, he says, I've something to tell you. And he says, they all was real serious. What have you got to tell us? He turned off the tent and he says, guys, I became a Christian. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're all going to hell. It went down like a lead balloon, obviously. But you think, now, if Jesus was only with me, I could walk down on Collins Street. I could tell everyone about Jesus. If Jesus was with me, I could overcome. If Jesus was with me, I could walk out of his cell. If Jesus was with me, I could have power to do anything. We always think if he was with me, he was with me. But listen, he's not with you. He's in you. So all the things that you break down to these and you limit them because he's not with me is a lie because he's in you. It's not truth. That's why the scripture says, I can do all things. Because this God lives inside of me. So the next time we're tempted, the next time we feel as though we're going to fail, the next time we slack off, I don't like using the word tap in. But you plug yourself, you connect yourself to Him who lives inside of you. Lord, I can't do it in my strength. But I know in my weakness, you're at your strongest. And Lord, I know when sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And the gracious one lives inside of me. And the great power of God lives inside me. And He who created the universe lives inside of me. And He who rose from the dead lives inside of me. And He who rose people from the dead lives inside me. And He who healed the sick lives inside of me. And He who broke bread and fish and fed thousands lives inside of me. Lord, I will never limit you again. I will never limit you, Lord, if I grasp that you live inside of me, Lord. I will never shakar. The Greek word for neglect, the Greek word for taken for granted is shakar. Say it, shakar. See, it's all now Greek now, in Hebrew. When you know who lives inside, you know what I want the Lord to just do for us. Lord, don't let me take you for granted again. Don't let me dismiss you, Lord God, as if you're not there. Don't let me dismiss you and just run after what my flesh wants or what the enemy might tempt me with. Let me know, Father. I pray, I'm praying for months for each one of you. I just pray over every one of these chairs I do. Lord, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That we may know Him better. That we may know Him who lives in us. Amen. Now they went to the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. They received Him. The connection of God was made. John the Baptist says, yeah, He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem. I have fire. I have something else to give you. You have the connection of heaven made. Now here's the power of heaven. And he waited in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came in another dynamic of fire and power and separated tongues of fire came and separated on each one of them and they were filled with the power of God to do many things. But one of the things to do was to win this world. To win. If Jesus was only with me, I'd win the world. He is with us. If you're a Christian, you've asked Him to come in, He comes in. This is sitting here, represented from the encounter weekend. And this is how intimate God wants to be with us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I'll come in and I'll have dinner with them. That's how intimate he is. That's how intimate he is. Why? Because he lives in us.